all you guys. Who's under 25 here? Fantastic. That's really cool. So we, over 20 years ago, we found ourselves in a situation where we were the only ones left with the keys to a church office. A small church, a little church plant. The pastor had resigned, had to leave, and Nick was the only one with the keys to the office. He'd been asked on staff to help out. What we didn't know was help out was code for do it all, and so being left with these keys to the office, we were under 25, well and truly. We'd been married for 6 months, and Nick and I were, of course, quite stunned by the situation, and I was full-time emergency nursing, and we found ourselves invited to a pastor's day. Now, a pastor's day, they're a big deal, right? When I was at 23, I was like, what is a pastor's day? This sounds exciting. So we tripped up to Sydney, and on Manly Beach, I'm pretty sure, I hope my details are right, we rocked up to a hotel and we walked in to our, and I get teary whenever I think about this, so, and I'm not a crier, okay? So I just want to, like, sorry if I do, but I don't actually cry very often, so if I do, it's a big deal, so you should cry too or something, right? But this moment, picture it, Manly Beach, we walk into a hotel, way too young, we look 10 years younger than we actually were, walked in and we plonked ourselves down in the second last row. And we sat there and we're like, we were hurting actually, we were really hurting. We'd been through a lot. We'd watch our beautiful church, 5 years old, just fall apart in a sense. And we sat in this back row, second back row, and these two beautiful faces immediately, like they didn't even wait, I don't know if there was worship, but they didn't even wait for whatever was going on to finish. They just turned around and they said, hi, my name's Danielle, my name's John. I know, right? And here we were, 23 years old, no idea what we were doing. And Danielle and John were the very first people to turn around and say, welcome to the C3 family. And to this day, we are so, so grateful. We've been pastoring for over 20 years, our beautiful church. We love ministry. We love ministry. We love the local church. We love what is going on here in the Sunny Coast. I love that you guys are part of something that is so beautiful and big that it spans the globe, the C3 family. I love that tomorrow you guys are all going out to wherever you find yourselves as the representatives of Jesus. I'm literally walking into workplaces, into businesses, into hospitals, into schools, and being Jesus in that place. That is the local church. And tonight, just like Nick did this morning, I want to introduce you to some unsung heroes in the Bible. Nick introduced you to Andrew, and it's a really good message if you get a chance. Tonight, I'm going to introduce you to two women that you may or may not have heard of very, very soon. And these two women, to me, are some of the most unsung heroes in the Bible. You're going to love these girls. They're amazing. You see, my heart for the local church, my heart for you and I, is that we are the church on a Monday, not just a Sunday, but that tomorrow the church looks like you and me going out together to do what God has called us to do, to take this word, this book, the promises that it is filled with, and to stand true and firm in them, in our families, in our marriages, in our schools, and in our universities. That is what God is calling the church to do. Do you believe it here tonight? So, so cool. You know, Nick preached this great message this morning on Andrew, and he prayed at the end for his unsaved mates that he's been reaching out to. Do you know what's really interesting is one of those friends he prayed for, he's going through a really rough time, and he had backed right off from Nick after, what, 15 years of friendship, I would say. He'd sort of really taken a step back. Nick was still pushing in because my husband's just patient and a saint, unlike me. And so he was still texting him. He was still calling him. Do you know what happened after prayer? Literally within 3 or 4 hours, this guy rings Nick. First time in months, and says, can we hang out? You see, God wants to use us to reach the people around us, right? Not just this room, but to reach those that have been put in our lives. And I'm telling you that if we can leave here tonight knowing that God has that in store for you on a Monday, oh my goodness, this place will be filled and overflowing. So the beginning of 2024 for us was an interesting year. We'd just come out of probably what was one of the hardest seasons of ministry, like a lot of pastors, post-COVID, all the things that we'd ever experienced in 20 years. To top it off, in 2022, when everyone else started to recover from COVID, we found ourselves in our church building, literally exploded. Now, big, really exciting moment. The kebab shop next door went up, and if you would like to, not now, but later, Google C3 Belconnen or Canberra explosion, and it'll show you really cool videos. So just fun things. Not now, though. All those under 25-year-olds, put your phones away. All right, so the start of this year, we went through a really tough year after that rebuilding. It took us 12 months, our church and everything. Like, we literally didn't even have a guitar. We went in and rescued the Pastor Phil for paintings. We were kind of not meant to go in. It was pretty dangerous, but we rescued them off the walls. And we're just like, nah, we're going to... And we shoved them in the back of the car and drove them home. But outside Pastor Phil's paintings, we had nothing. Like, nothing. No computers, no guitar, no keyboard. It was a really rough year. On top of that, there were some health challenges in our world. We had one, you know, sometimes one thing after another, after another. So at the beginning of this year, as always, I went to Jesus. I said, God, show me what you want for this year, for 2024. And usually I get a scripture or a word, but it was really hard coming this year. I was like, what is it? God, what are you doing in me? What is the word for this year? And I felt the Lord say, read through the Old Testament. Now, I naturally lean towards reading the New Testament. I naturally love it. I love Adele, like, I would read that all day, every day. For me, it was a challenge to start in Genesis and read all the way through. And I get to Deuteronomy, which is pretty early on, and I feel like God just says, stop. And I read this verse in Deuteronomy 7, and it says this in the Amplified Version, for you are a holy person, people, set apart to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be a people for his own possession. That is his very special treasure. The Lord did not love you and choose you because you were greater in number than any of the other peoples, for you are the fewest of people. But because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath which he swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with his mighty hand and brought you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Therefore, know without any doubt and understand that the Lord your God is, he is God, the faithful God, who is keeping his covenant and his steadfast loving kindness to a thousand generations with those who love and keep his commandments. And the Lord said to me, stop. Post that on your bathroom wall. Read that every day. The Lord your God, he is God. And this promise has really carried us into 2024 and I believe beyond. You see, I love the Old Testament the way we see God's people really kind of traveling similar roads to what you and I travel. And God here is reminding his people of his promises, the promises that are never changing, the promises that aren't kind of maybe in this situation but not in that, the promises that are true and trustworthy and faithful. The promises of the Word of God, there are thousands of them. Did you know that? There are thousands in this book, in here, there are thousands of promises that we are able to believe and trust in. Promises like His presence, never will I leave you, he says. Never will I forsake you. Promise like his protection. The Lord is our shepherd. We shall not want. Promises like God's strength. I can do all things. Nice. I can do all things. I love it. I love it. Promises of God's provision. And my God will meet all your needs. Promises of God's peace. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. You see, these promises are yes and amen.
Come on.
And tonight, as we focus in on these two beautiful unsung heroes in Exodus, I want us to remember those promises, because these people, that's exactly what they did. So turn with me to Exodus 1. And we're going to read a story of two women who really actually paved the way for Moses to be born. Now, I know many of us will know who Moses is, but just for those that maybe don't, Moses ends up being the leader of God's people, a very significant hero in the Bible. In fact, many of us would probably say he is the hero of Exodus, right? He is a foreshadow of Christ. His life actually kind of is parallel to Jesus' life. He was born into oppression, etc., etc. Right? We won't go into that right now, but very exciting. Now, before Moses was born, there was a Pharaoh, a king, who was over God's people in Egypt. And this Pharaoh had basically taken out a bit of a hit on God's people, right? The Bible's exciting, yeah? Here we are. This is pretty cool. Pharaoh is going nuts, let's be honest. And so in Exodus 1 verse 9, Pharaoh says to his people, "Behold, the people of Israel," that's God's people, "are too many and too mighty for us. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply, and if war breaks out, they join our enemies and fight against us and escape from the land." Anyone notice insecure leaders? What, how bad that can go? The people of God weren't doing anything to indicate they were going to take over, right? This guy just like was like, "Oh boy, they're getting bigger. They're getting more of them. They're quite peaceful, but oh, what if they take over," right? Do you know that word shrewdly actually refers back to when the snake is referenced in the garden, right? So here we can look at Pharaoh as a little bit like the enemy himself, the enemy that is taking out a hit on God's people, the enemy that is trying to oppress, intimidate, and pull down God's people. So note to self. Therefore, so basically he says, all right, we've got to do something about these people. In verse 11, he says, "Therefore they set taskmasters over them," over God's people, "to afflict them with heavy burdens. They built for Pharaoh store cities, Pithom and..." Oh no, I should have practiced this, honey. He told me. "Pithom and Ramesses. But the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied." But the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied and the more they spread abroad. "And the Egyptians were in dread," gosh, they're dramatic, "of the people of Israel. And so they ruthlessly..." So it's like he goes up a level. "They ruthlessly made the people of Israel work as slaves and made their lives bitter in hard service with mortar and all kinds of work in the field." It's interesting, isn't it, in our own lives, that we find ourselves in situations where Pharaoh the king, the enemy, brings an attack that we're not expecting. We can be peaceful, wonderful people doing all the right things. And then we turn around and for some reason, there's one attack after another. He dealt shrewdly with them. Pharaoh himself turned his eyes on God's people and came at them in a way that floored them. And these beautiful people had not, there was no evidence that these people were going to take over. In fact, three generations before, Joseph had worked with Pharaoh. Pharaoh had acknowledged Joseph as a good thing, right? So this Pharaoh that they were facing right now had forgotten all the good things that God's people, in fact, God's people had rescued the Pharaoh three generations ago. Absolutely rescued them, set up this beautiful pathway for all these people to be fed in famine, to be looked after. And yet three generations on, this Pharaoh had changed it. He'd forgotten. And he turned his eyes onto those God's people. I don't know about you, but I can relate to that sometimes, right? In my own life. When Pharaoh just seems to look me in the face. And I feel that intimidation, that oppression come on me. There were two women in this time, in Exodus 1, we'll go into verse 15, who were Hebrew midwives. And they're my most favorite people in the Bible, I've decided just now. The king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, one of whom was named Shaprah and the other one who was named Puah, when you serve, as a midwife to the Hebrew women. So basically Pharaoh's like, I've got an idea. Calls the midwives to him and says to the women, when you see them on the birth stool, if it is a son, you shall kill him, but if it is a daughter, she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king, the king of Egypt commanded them, but let the male children live. So the king again calls the midwives, he commands them, and he says, come, why have you done this? And let the male children live. And the midwives, thinking on their feet, said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women. I love it. Just a little dig there, right? They are vigorous and give birth before the midwife comes to them. Verse 20. That's a thing, right, Danielle? Yeah? So God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very strong. Isn't that a crazy thought? These two women, everyday women, just like you tomorrow, going out into your workplace, going to work, doing what you do, being activated in the gifts that you've been preaching on, going out to their work, and they're summoned by what would be the most terrifying person they could think of. Terrifying. Pharaoh had all the power. He had all the authority. He had armies supporting him. The people were oppressed. And here he calls Shaprah and Puah, and he says to them, calls them to him. And do you know the first thing that Pharaoh said to the two midwives? You were called to bring life, but I want you to do the opposite. I want you to bring death. You see, when you are called to the promises of God, when you were sent out to your unis, to your schools, to your families, you know what the promises of God are in this book. These girls, the first thing the enemy will try and do to you is to confuse you, is to say, no, that's not what you're designed for. You're designed for anxiety and depression. No, that's not what you're designed for. You're designed for this. He will try and convince you that you are not called to bring life, but you are actually called to bring death. He will try and convince you that you are not given all the authority that you have been given through Jesus Christ. He will try and convince you that you are not worthy. He will try and intimidate, because I'm telling you, the devil is a very insecure being. The devil himself, the enemy that comes against you, is insecure in nature. He does not want you being the church on a Monday. He does not want you in that uni, in that school, in that workplace, bringing life, doing exactly what the Word has told us to do. It's so interesting. It's so interesting to me that the very first thing Pharaoh did was to try and convince them to go against the promises of God. Remember the promise of God, the ultimate promise in Genesis? Genesis 1:28. Go into all the world. Sorry, be fruitful, wrong promise. Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. That's God's promise to God's people. The very beginning. To have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing. Be fruitful and multiply. These women, I can see them in my heart, called to the steps of Pharaoh, walking up the steps. I actually see them holding hands because they're together, right? Church, we're together. Walking up the steps of Pharaoh's kingdom. Heads down, wondering what's about to come. And they're kneeling before him, probably not able to look him in the face. Kneeling before him, subdued, squashed, oppressed. And he says, kill all the boys. I can't think of anything worse. As a midwife, to stop what God was doing in God's people, I can't think of anything worse. And yet, as I picture these girls, I kind of see her kind of grabbing each other's hand and maybe a little squeeze and just a little bit of a fire in their eye. Fire that said, you know what, since we were little girls, we were told the promises of God. We were told and we remember that we are to be fruitful and to multiply. I can almost feel it, like those promises pumping through the blood in their veins as they kind of just sit there going, no, this is not what I'm called for. This is not what God wants me to do. We are here to bring life. We are here to bring the power of God. And I am not going to go back on what is written in the Word of God for my life. These beautiful midwives, be fruitful and multiply. You see, they were being obedient to the Word of God. They were being obedient. They didn't bow. They didn't go back. They were being obedient. You see, you and I are called. You and I are called to be the light of the world, to not bow to the intimidation of Pharaoh. And I don't know what your Pharaoh is here tonight, Pharaohs, but I do know the promises of God. And I know that you can leave here tonight and you can go and be the church tomorrow, wherever you find yourself, in whatever situation, the darkest places, the hardest places, I can tell you the promises of God are what you can stand on. That's why two crazy 23-year-olds who had never preached, we ran a connect group, like kind of. It was more of a setup kind of, let's all meet each other because we all wanted to get married, right? Before, that was before we were married, right? But it was a bit of a meet and greet. We called it Kentucky. Yeah, Kentucky tours. Remember that? We were cool. We were so cool. He's just like, oh boy. Literally, God took two 20-something-year-olds. I grew up in Victoria on a goat farm. I am not. Definitely. There was a bet going on whether I could bring it in. Come on. I mentioned goat farm. I know, right? So I grew up on a goat farm, but honestly, I grew up in the most simple way. And then I met Jesus. And he changed my life. He turned me upside down, right side up. I didn't hear that joke, but later you're going to share it because it sounded really funny. He turned me right side up. Right side up. And suddenly here we are, 20 years later, still loving Jesus, still loving the church, still loving the promises of God and leaning on them each and every day, still building His house. In your marriage, in your parenting, in your workplace, you too can take these promises into Monday. You know, I was a prodigal. My parents were both immigrants. They came from Germany, my mum, and my dad came from England. My dad had never met Jesus. He came over with four brothers and a sister, and he'd never met Jesus before. And, you know, he tells this story. He immigrated to St Kilda in Melbourne. It was a very poor area. His dad was a miner. And one day, there was a knock on the door. In this tiny little two-bedroom, red brick, really, really poor-looking neighbourhood, there was a knock on the door. And there stood two people. Their names were Paul and Diane Edwards. Paul was a carpenter and a steelworker. And he knocked on the door and he handed my dad, my grandma, my nana, an invitation to a church plant. St. Albans Baptist Church, still there today. And my dad, what they didn't realise is literally that week, my dad's brother had been killed in a terrible, terrible car accident. He was 19. And my nana had been weeping in the kitchen. And she got an invitation to church from a steel worker. What we found out later is Alan Nunn, this guy, this pastor who served the Lord his whole life, he had lost his leg in a motorbike accident and experienced this crazy salvation from that and ended up serving God his whole life, had said to Paul and Diane Edwards, "We've got to start a church. Would you help?" Now, Paul and Diane, from my understanding, they never preached. They never kind of had the limelight, right? They just handed out brochures and loved my dad's parents. And my dad went to church. His whole family got radically saved. And here I stand. I was a prodigal for a bit. And I knew my mum and dad were praying for me every single day. And you know what? I trace it back to Paul and Diane Edwards. People who just were the church on a Monday. Matthew tells us, your lives light up the world. Let others see your light from a distance. For how can you hide what you have? How can you hide a city that stands on a hilltop? And who would light a lamp and then hide it in an obscure place? Instead, it's placed where everyone in the house can benefit. You and I are placed for a reason where we find ourselves. I could tell you story after story of my days in emergency medicine where God just intervened in situations. You know, you're talking about activating the gifts. You know what I used to do? I would you'd get the resus radio call thing and I would kind of hear the handover and I would walk to the resus room praying in tongues. And I'm telling you, you know what would happen? I would go in, I would write up, multiple times this happened. I would write up the age of a child that was coming and really, really sick and the weight. And I'd put a little approximate. I was right, and I'd had all the maths done, nearly all the time, because I couldn't weigh them on the scene, right? And so we would have these medicines ready for these sick kids because I'd prayed in tongues and discerned what God needed us to do. I'm telling you, the power of God goes with you on a Monday. The power of God is in your families, in your homes. The power of God is wherever you, in your business, as you manage your staff. The power of God, young people, is on you. I have such a heart for those under 25s because guys, God wants to use you. You are not too young. You are not too damaged. If anyone was, I was. You're not too whatever you've convinced yourself of. That is Pharaoh speaking to you. Here is the deal. Pharaoh wasn't named. He was just like saying king. He didn't even get any acknowledgement. Pharaoh said this, and Pharaoh, he could have been one of hundreds of pharaohs, right? Just one after another and after. Who did they name? They named Shaphrah and Puah. They named them in this book. And I'm telling you, church, you and I also can be named in the book of life as God uses you tomorrow. Why don't you jump to your feet? I'd love the band to come back. God is going to use you, church, right across this place. The promises of God are what you stand on. And I would love to, in a moment, pray for you. Pray for you to be the Shaphrah and Puahs of Sunny Coast. Pray for you as you go into your business, as you go into your home, and do what God has called you to do. The promises of God are yes and amen. Shaphrah and Puah, they knew it. It beat in their hearts so much that they could stand up to the Pharaoh. Is the word beating in your heart so much that you can stand up to the Pharaohs in your life and tell it to get lost? Is it in your heart so much that you can stand up and say, I will not go that way. I'm not crossing a line. Is it in your heart enough to say, God, use me no matter what? Use me. I'll stack chairs. I'll hand out church plant brochures. Use me, God. Right now across this place, why don't you shut your eyes and just allow God to work? Holy Spirit, right now, would you move in this place? Holy Spirit, we know that there is nothing like the promises of God. You are faithful, Father God. You protect, Father God. You are the great I am, Lord. And so tonight, Father, as we lean in, I thank you that you meet us here. Let us be the midwives. Let us be the Paul and Diane's of the Sunshine Coast. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. I thank you, Father, that you meet us here. You know, I know that everyone comes into church with a story, just like Sam and mine. You might be here tonight and you've been invited to church, or perhaps you've just kind of found yourself here. I'm telling you, you are here for a reason. You are not here by accident. You're not here because you kind of went, oh yeah, that'd be a good thing. You are here for a reason. God is going to speak to you tonight. And if you've been in church for 100 years, God is going to speak to you tonight. Or if this is your very first time, my goodness, what a brave thing to do. I'm so proud of you. This may be your moment, though, where God speaks to you. The moment where he says to you, come to me. Come to me. Come to me as you are. Not perfect. Not all pretty and nice. Come to me as you are. I was literally sitting in a gutter. I have a scar to prove it. I'd just stolen a Christmas tree and 100 speed sign in the back of our Wagga Wagga ute. No joke. I'd fallen over and I'd done my knee. I had like 30 stitches not long after. And I was sitting. I was not pretty. I had a problem. A problem that only God could fix. Right? A problem that I knew I had nothing. I could not fix what was on the inside of me. But you know what did? Is one call from Jesus. A call that said, Melissa, come to me. And I'm telling you tonight, Jesus doesn't just see you as a thing like Pharaoh without a name. He sees you. And he is saying, come to me. Jesus is calling you by name. And he's saying, come. So across this place with every eye closed, Lord, I thank you that you call us by name. If you're here and you're like me in that gutter, figuratively perhaps, you know you need Jesus. I don't need to convince you, you just know. You might be a prodigal, you might be half in, half out, or you might be completely never been to church before. But if you're here and you're feeling that call, come follow me from Jesus, I want you to do a really brave thing. I want you to catch my eye. That might be by giving me a wave or even just a little like, Mel, that's me. Right across this place, Jesus is calling your name. So who's here tonight that is saying, yes, yes, I'm coming, Jesus, I'm coming to you. I want to know what it means to follow you. Right across this place, give me a little wave. I don't want to miss anyone because it's really important. Across this place, I'm just looking. Holy Spirit, thank you, Holy Spirit, in this place. Holy Spirit, fall. I thank you, Father God, that you meet us where we're at. Holy Spirit, I thank you that tonight is a new call on C3 Powerhouse PM service. I thank you, Father God, that there is a call on each and every person here tonight to stand firm in the promises of God. So right now, why don't you begin to come? I would love to pray for you in the last 5 or 10 minutes of this service. I'd love to take some time to pray for you. If you are heading out to face your Pharaoh, right? Pharaohs can be all sorts of things, but I'm telling you, as you get prayer tonight, we are going to claim the power of the promises of God over your life. So we're going to sing this song and then we're going to get you guys to come out. So start coming, everyone. I would love to pray for you. Oh my goodness, Holy Spirit, fall in this place. I thank you, Father God, that the power of God is here. The promise of God that he is with us tonight. Holy Spirit, I thank you that every fair bows in Jesus' name. There is nothing that stands in the way of people of God on church on a Monday. Holy Spirit, let us be like the midwives with the word pumping through our veins. Holy Spirit, the promise of God in Jesus' name.